What do skunks read?
I don't know. What?
Best smellers.
It's time for the children's hour, right here on KUNM.
Here come the ducks, it's fall again. Painting a picture on the water, swallowing in September sun, running away like summer's daughter. Here come the ducks, it's fall again, writing the words above the hollow. Time on your shoulder, drifting light, breeze on the water, thoughts will follow. All of your actions burn away, all of your friends and dogwood flaming. Here come the moon, it's night again, shingle the water where he's again. Look at the ducks, they tell the story. Here come the ducks, it's fall again. Look at the ducks, they tell the story. Look at the ducks, they tell the story.
Here Come the Ducks. Ooh, that was kind of abrupt. That's David Yazbek, and his CD is called Tape Recorder. And indeed, here do come the ducks. Good morning. This is Katie. I'm so happy to be with you this morning on the Children's Hour. It's a beautiful day. And as Zoe was so wisely pointing out, good morning, Zoe, by the way.
Good morning, Katie.
It's not ducks that we're seeing, really.
No.
We're seeing what?
Geese.
Geese. Cranes. Have you been seeing cranes at your house?
I've heard them for sure, but I haven't seen many.
It doesn't seem like we have as many cranes this year yet. I think it's so warm, they're taking their time.
Yeah.
And anyway, let's say good morning to everyone in the studio who's here, including Noah Silver. Hey, Noah.
Hey, Katie.
And I want to thank Noah and Zoe. Thank you both. Thank you, by the way. Thank you, guys.
You're welcome.
Of course.
Do you know what you did?
I feel left out.
Well, Eli, they helped raise all this money last week. They were like the awesome pitchers, and they just did a great job. So we need to applaud them. Eli Glickman, you're not left out. You're here. Good morning, Eli Glickman.
Hi.
Hi. And we have other people in the studio with us as well. We have Dawn from Animal Humane.
Good morning.
Dawn brought a couple friends who are always so quiet unless we do the right thing.
I have one who will definitely speak for us and make plenty of noise, Baxter.
Baxter. Animal Humane is going to be here talking a little bit about the Doggy Dash and Dawdle, an event for everyone. Hey, Baxter, let's try this. Okay, Baxter's here. Baxter's on the mic. And we have, pardon me, we have April Chavez. Good morning, April.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning to you. April Chavez, you are New Mexico's shrew expert, right?
I guess one of them, yes.
I don't know. I've been asking folks all over, do you know what a shrew is? Do you know we have shrews in New Mexico? And April, nobody knows.
Well, today, hopefully a lot more people will know about these guys. They're awesome.
That's right. So don't turn that dial because you're going to learn about shrews of New Mexico. You're going to learn about the Doggy Dash and Dawdle. And then I have some other friends in the studio as well. I have David and Adric from the Q Lab.
Hi, everybody.
They're in the background there. You can hear them. And the Q Lab has some incredibly cool stuff going on tonight for all ages. And it's kind of Halloween-y. We're going to get into that, too. So much more to do. This is the Children's Hour. This is going out to all you animal lovers. I have a cat named Betty, and Betty came from Animal Humane.
I love to hear that. That's wonderful.
She came from Animal Humane, and she was a little foster kitten.
Oh, and you ended up keeping her.
Well, I didn't foster her.
Oh, someone else did.
But I made the terrible mistake of going and visiting foster kittens at a friend's house. And just for listeners out there, if you don't want a kitten, don't visit kittens in foster care. It's pretty hard to resist. But anyway, this is going out to all of you cat lovers. And remember, there's a lot of kittens right now at Animal Humane, and they need homes. But listen to this story. This is the Babysitters. This coming off of a record printed in 1959.
We have a cat named Betty, and this is a song about how Betty came to live with us. Do you remember that day, Betty? That was at the Golden Rule Supermarket. Remember that in Fort Bragg, California? Would you like to sing with us? Well, if you want to listen, just sit over there in the corner. She's got two green eyes and a bushy tail. That's Betty from the Golden Rule. We went down to the Golden Rule Market in the heart of old Fort Bragg. We looked down at the curb, and there all alone was a cat whose tail gave a wag. We were looking at Betty, Betty, Betty from the Golden Rule. She's got two green eyes and a bushy tail. That's Betty from the Golden Rule. Why do you sit alone, Betty? Have you got an appointment here? She just looked up at us with a very sad face, and I think in her eye was a tear. She was crying, Betty, Betty, Betty from the Golden Rule. Betty, Betty, two green eyes and a bushy tail, and it's Betty from the Golden Rule. Well, I went right into that market, and I said to the lady there, do you know anything about a cat outside who's giving us a plaintive stare? Do you know about Betty, Betty, Betty from the Golden Rule? She's got two green eyes and a bushy tail. That's Betty from the Golden Rule. Well, the lady then, she said to me, oh, please take care of that cat. Some people came and dumped her here. Oh, what do you think about that? What do you think about Betty, Betty, Betty from the Golden Rule? Betty, Betty, two green eyes and a bushy tail. Oh, that's Betty from the Golden Rule. Well, we took her home in the car that day, and she purred a little song. She was happy to be with some people where she knew that she did belong. She was a happy, happy Betty, Betty, Betty from the Golden Rule. She's got two green eyes and a bushy tail, and that's Betty from the Golden Rule. So we took her in and we gave her some food, liver and tuna fish. And she looked up at us and said, thank you so much, now I have got my wish. I am so happy now, it's Betty, Betty, Betty from the Golden Rule. Betty, Betty, two green eyes and a bushy tail, and that's Betty from the Golden Rule. That's Betty from the Golden Rule. Oh, Betty from the Golden Rule.
I kind of hope our general manager isn't listening. We are. This is for educational purposes. That's why
that's
we
right.
have dogs in the studio. Yes, we're allowed to have dogs in the studio for educational purposes.
Exactly, and that's what we're doing.
Yes, exactly. Dawn, you're from the Animal Humane Association, Animal Humane of New Mexico.
Yes.
Briefly, what does Animal Humane do? In case anyone has been, you know, just born or something and doesn't know what they do.
Animal Humane is New Mexico's oldest and largest animal nonprofit. So we work to help homeless pets in our community. And there's a broad circle of care we do that encompasses completing that mission. So we shelter pets, we foster pets, we provide education, we provide services for people who can't afford to take care of their pets, and we pretty much try to find every single thing we can do to help end pet homelessness.
That's fantastic. And one of the biggest events of the year for you is coming up really soon. And Mary B. yesterday on Freeform announced that I'm on a team with her. So I didn't know that. But, you know, I'm happy to be on a team with her. It's the Doggy Dash and Dawdle. Am I right?
You're right.
It's such a cool event because it's actually a carnival for dogs, not to mention a great way to get some exercise with your dog. Tell us about it.
You know, it's really the canine social event of the year. It's the funnest event you can do with your family. If you have a dog or don't have a dog, we really encourage everyone to come out. It's the 29th annual. So we do it every year. It averages 3,000 human and dog participants. So really, everyone who's got a dog comes out there and has a great time. There's a 5K race and a 2-mile dawdle where people can walk around with their dogs. My favorite part is Dash Bash. It's a carnival for dogs. So there's all these different carnival activities for dogs that you can do, like bobbing for hot dogs is one of the most popular attractions. We also have paw print painting, photo booths, contests.
Will dogs actually bob for hot dogs?
Oh, believe you me. Dogs love to bob. I think dogs will do just about anything for hot dogs.
Wow, it sounds like so much fun. And so to register your team, go ahead, Eli, you have a question?
Yeah, so I have a dog at home who I'm taking care of right now. Her name is Sheba. And if I wanted to get Sheba into the race or one of the 5K or the 2-mile dawdle, what would I do first?
It's really easy. What you're going to want to do is register for the race. That's a great question. You can register in a lot of different ways. Probably the easiest way is to go online. Go to animalhumanenm.org and just click on the Doggy Dash and Dawdle. You can get yourself registered for the race. Or you can also come to any of our 3 locations throughout town, or REI also is letting people sign up there.
So you can sign up at REI. You can sign up online and animalhumanenm.org. By the way, there's a kids registration for this. And if you don't have a dog, I know we have a lot of cat people out there, which is why I played Betty, because, you know, we love cats. Well, but I have a dog too. But
I do too.
If
you don't have a dog, or maybe you have cats instead, this is still an event you want to come to, because more than 40% of the proceeds from this event go to benefit the cats in our care. Of course, at Animal Humane, we love cats. I've got 2 cats at home, and, you know, we can't do without them. However, cats don't really like to come out to the park and be around a bunch of dogs, which is why we don't usually see them at the event. But we're still out there raising money to help the cats. So maybe you don't have a dog at home, or you have cats instead. That's a great thing, because we have Rent-A-Dog at the event.
Rent-A-Dog? I love that. Who are these dogs that you're renting?
They're adoptable dogs that we have at Animal Humane. You know, and kind of our motto for the event is every dog should have his day. So we bring out our adoptable dogs. People can rent the dog for the day, take them around to the race. And if you end up falling in love, you can adopt them. But of course, we don't make everyone adopt them. You can just rent them for the day, enjoy it, and give that dog a great day that he deserves.
Oh, how sweet. Wow. So the Animal Humane Association of New Mexico, are you helping dogs and cats all over the state?
We are. We actually have it's called Project Fetch, and we transfer in animals from shelters statewide that might not have the resources we do. In 2010, we transferred in over 800 animals from other shelters across our state.
Wow, that's fantastic. The Doggy Dash and Dawdle. That's a tongue twister kind of on the radio. The Doggy Dash and Dawdle is accepting registrations now. It's happening on November 5th.
6th.
A Sunday. And we're just hoping. I'm gonna be there. So you can look for me. I have a little 3-legged dog named Lucky. And indeed he is. And we'll be there. Lucky and I and Mary. And I don't know, maybe we'll get Mary to rent a dog. It's got a 2-mile dawdle. That's for me. And a 5K dash.
Right.
And
I forgot to mention, you can start a team as well when you go to register.
Oh, good.
So get all your friends on the team, and you guys can ask people to help you raise money for your team, set a donation goal so that you can raise as much money as possible to help homeless pets. And the event is at Balloon Fiesta Park. So it's a huge fiesta out there.
So I see on here that I'm looking at a brochure right now. There is a Meet Your Match thing. What is that?
Meet Your Match is actually a service we provide when people come in to adopt a dog. And it was started by ASPCA, which is the American Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Animals. It's kind of like a national animal humane, if you will. Well, we're private and local. And it helps to match people with the perfect dog to fit their lifestyle when they're looking to adopt a dog. So they'll come in and take a survey to kind of assess how their lifestyle is. Do they like to sit on the couch and watch TV, or do they like to go and run and hike and bike? And based on that, we have dogs that are assigned colors how they want to live their life. So some dogs are calm and would love to be a couch potato, while others are really excited and want to run around. And the Meet Your Match service is for when people come into our campus and want to adopt a dog, and we tell them, you do best with a green dog. So they can go out and meet a bunch of dogs we have available for adoption that have been assessed a green level.
That's so cool. Well, to learn more about the Doggy Dash and Dottle, just go right online to the Animal Humane Association's website, which is animalhumanenm.org. You kids can register and adults can register, and you don't have to have a dog. And Dawn and Lacey and Baxter, you've been so well behaved. Do you have anything else to add to this conversation at all? Baxter, do you like it? Thank you so much, Dawn.
Thank you.
Boom, boom. How much is that dog in the window? The one with the waggly tail. How much is that dog in the window? I do hope that doggy's for sale. How much is that dog in the window? The one with the waggly tail. How much is that doggy in the window? I do hope that doggy's for sale.
I must take a trip to California and leave my poor mother alone.
I'll miss you.
If she has a dog, she won't be lonesome, and the doggy will have a good home.
How much is that doggy in the window? The one with the waggly tail. How much is that doggy in the window? I do hope that doggy's for sale.
I read in the papers there was robbers.
Oh, no.
With flashlights that shine in the dark. My love needs a doggy to protect her and scare them away with one bark.
How much is that doggy in the window? The one with the waggly tail. How much is that doggy in the window? I do hope that doggy's for sale.
I don't want a bunny or kitty.
Yeah.
I don't want a parrot that talks.
I don't want a cracker.
I don't want a bowl of little fishes. You can't take a goldfish for long.
How much is that doggy in the window? The one with the waggly tail. How much is that doggy in the window? I do hope that doggy's for sale.
I know that my sweetheart likes kitties, but kitties are cuddly and sweet. My love needs a doggy to protect her and sleep every night at her feet.
How much is that doggy in the window? The one with the waggly tail. How much is that doggy in the window? I do hope that doggy's for sale. How much is that doggy in the window? The one with the waggly tail. How much is that doggy in the window? I do hope that doggy's for sale.
Steak fence is a place where nature makes so much sense. All the creatures living in harmony. It's a wild, wild party in the loquat tree. Fuzzies and furries run, walk or fly, having a feast beneath a clear blue sky. Animals coming from miles around to bounce the prance and shake the loquat down. The squirrel and the sparrow and the mouse and the bee are having a party in the loquat tree, eating all the yellow fruit they can see. It's a wild, wild party in the loquat tree. It's a wild, wild party in the loquat tree. The squirrel and the sparrow and the mouse and the bee all having a party in the loquat tree. Eating all the yellow that they can see. It's a wild, wild party in the loquat tree. It's a wild, wild party in the loquat tree. Chatter. It's a wild, wild party in the loquat tree.
That's the Indigo Girls, and that's coming off of a CD called Mary Had a Little Amp. Many thanks to my good buddy Seth for getting me that, and the Wild Wild Party in the Loquat Tree. And maybe you wonder, and oh, before that, by the way, you did hear How Much Is That Doggy in the Window? That's the Persuasions from their kids' CD On the Good Ship Lollipop. And so much great music. If you're wanting to know what you're hearing on the Children's Hour, you can always go to KUNM.org and you'll know all about it. But in the meantime, I've asked so many people all this week, what's a shrew? What's a shrew? Noah, do you have any idea?
What is a shrew?
What is a shrew? Well, let's ask it's April Chavez.
A mammal.
Okay, yeah. We know it's a mammal. We're that far, April. Hi, April Chavez.
Good morning.
April Chavez, you are a student at the University of New Mexico, a grad student.
Yeah, I'm an undergrad, actually.
Wow, and you get to study shrews as an undergrad?
I do. I get to do research on their genetics at a biology lab at UNM.
Wow, so cool. Talk to us about shrews. What is a shrew?
Okay, so Noah, yes, you had it right. That's a good start. They are mammals. They are small mammals. And they are actually some of the most abundant mammals that we have in the world. So they're not endangered, which is really great. They are similar to rats and mice, but they're more closely related to moles. But they are neither. They are neither a mole or a mouse. They are their own shrew. And they're really cool creatures. They're actually pretty vicious creatures. They have really high metabolisms, so they're constantly eating.
Do we have them here in Albuquerque?
Not in Albuquerque, but we do have them in the mountains, northern mountains.
The northern mountains.
Yes.
So how big are they about?
Oh, they're about 2 inches. They're
2
really
inches?
Tiny. Yeah, for being really small. Tiny.
So if I saw one and I was hiking in the mountains, I might say to myself, look, a mouse.
Exactly, exactly.
Do they look like mice?
They do. They're very similar to mice, except they have really long noses so that you might be able
why?
To tell.
I mean, you're a biologist, so you're going to tell us why did they evolve to have long noses?
They have long noses because they use their sense of smell to pick out food in their environment, and they have actually really small eyes. They've evolved those small eyes because they don't really use their eyes a lot to see. They use their nose.
We posted food. A picture at KUNM.org of the elephant shrew.
Yes, that's in Africa.
But even our shrews, can they move their nose around? Is it elephant-like in that they can move it? Well, it looks so long.
The elephant shrews, yeah, their noses are way more elongated. So that's why the elephant shrews. Our guys can move their noses, but they're just not as quite as long as the elephant shrew.
So they live in the brush? Do they live in little holes like mice?
Yeah, they live in underbrush. They have little holes. They're very similar behavior to mice and to moles and things like that.
So they eat bugs and your leftover apple core, anything?
Yes,
anything?
They pretty much eat anything. Like I said, they have high metabolisms, and I haven't seen it yet, but my fellow lab mates at UNM, they've said, because we trap our mammals for our studies, and sometimes they will trap two shrews at a time. And their metabolisms are so high and they have to eat that these shrews will actually eat each other.
Ew.
Yes. And, you know, you go and you see your trap, and there were two shrews in there, but only one is left because the other one ate the other one. Yeah, they're pretty vicious.
Cannibal shrews.
Yes.
Who knew? And so what really is the difference between a shrew and a mouse then? I mean, are they in the same neighborhood? Are they the same? Are they cousins? Or are they just totally? You're studying genetics, so you're the one to ask. So
They are in different families, I believe. So shrews are sericomorphs. And the main difference, the physical difference, is their teeth. So shrews have these really spiky teeth.
Do they bite you, by the way? If you were to reach into the trap where you're catching them, do they bite you?
Yes, they will bite you. So wear gloves.
So if I was a little kid and I'm an adult and I'm trying to catch a shrew, I'm up in the mountains hiking and I'm like, a shrew, just like April talked about. I catch it. Mm-hmm. Is it going to bite me?
It's going to bite you.
Oh, okay.
It's going to eat your finger.
All right. It's going to eat my finger.
It's going to try to eat it.
Okay, don't catch a shrew is the advice. Wow. So yes. When you said they're vicious, you're not kidding.
That's where Shakespeare got his Taming of the Shrew, the title for his famous play, you know.
Because they're known to be vicious.
They are known to be vicious.
And
they need to be tamed. Not really, but.
Not great pets.
No. Stick with a mouse if you want a pet, or a guinea pig.
Yeah. When you're studying shrews and you're studying the genetics, what are you learning about the genetics of New Mexico shrews? Are there a bunch of different kinds, or do we just have one kind?
Well, what we're studying in the genetics is that there's this particular species we're looking at. It's called Sorex monticulus. And it's not only in New Mexico. It's found in northern parts of Mexico all the way up until southern parts of Canada and Alaska. And this Sorex monticulus, we're actually trying to see if actually it's not just one species. And we're trying to see if there's actually hidden species within this one species of shrew.
So you mean folks haven't really studied shrews as much as maybe other animals?
Right.
So we don't really know all the different types of shrews. So you're actually getting to learn about new species?
Yes. And there actually might be greater amounts of biodiversity among shrews than we actually think.
Wow. What? Explain biodiversity.
So biodiversity is the amount of difference in biological life that there is out there, different species.
So two shrews could look a lot alike, but they could actually not ever, they're not in the same family of shrews, or
not
they're
in
not
the
in the same
species
of shrews.
Yes.
So they wouldn't mate with each other or whatever.
They could.
So you're seeing cross mating between?
Oh, yeah. It's just at the genetic level, they can be significantly different. They could look the same, but genetically they are way off.
Are they brown? Are they gray? Are they white? What are we looking for when we're trying not to get our fingers eaten?
For dark brown.
Dark brown.
Dark brown, gray, the color of brush, and they're really great camouflagers.
Go ahead.
So when you speak of genetics, I usually think of dominant and non-dominant traits.
Mm-hmm.
So what in the species you're studying are the most dominant traits?
The most dominant traits in our shrews. Oh, goodness. Let's see. Probably size is a good indicator of a species difference, the size of the shrew, if they're much larger than other ones. That could mean a different species. The size of the skull as well, that's a great indicator of species differences and shapes of skulls. That's a great indicator. Teeth, color as well. There are different colors of shrews depending on where they live. So the ones in Alaska might be different colors than the ones here in New Mexico.
What are the habits of a shrew? Is it going to be active during the day or at night? Does it hibernate?
Actually, small mammals are more active at night. Yes, when we set out traps, we set them up overnight, and in the morning they're usually in there.
Whoa, wow. And you can catch them every time. What's your shrew bait?
Shrew bait is...
Fingers.
Human fingers, no. It's just oats, seeds.
And how do you not catch, like, raccoons and mice?
Oh, we catch mice.
Yeah.
Raccoons, I've never caught a raccoon.
But you're catching shrews. You just kind of hope you catch the shrew and not the mice when you set out your traps.
Well, I mean... The Museum of Southwestern Biology here at UNM, too, we're always looking for any small mammal. So if we catch a mouse, that's okay.
Well, you have a museum of, say that again, the Museum of...
The Museum of Southwestern Biology at UNM. And
can people go there and look at the animals, or is that just for students? Or
It's primarily research, but I'm sure if you asked and were interested, we'd be glad to... Share our museum.
So kids out there who are really into biology who might want a personal tour can come see.
Yeah, I'm sure. We would be glad to.
Nice.
Absolutely.
So shrews, how do they survive the winter? You're saying that they live in the upper elevations, the northern parts, so they're clearly not down here in the valley where it's nice and warm.
No.
What do they do in the winter? What are they doing right now?
I think they're still out there hunting and
running around,
yeah. And actually, I'm not sure what they do in the winter. I'd have to ask my mentor that. That's a good question.
And
do they burrow down?
They burrow. They burrow, but I don't know if they hibernate.
And do they have their babies in the spring like most mammals?
I think they have 2 or 3 litters a year.
Whoa.
Yes. So they reproduce very quickly.
How many are in a litter?
I think about 5.
Wow.
4 or 5, yes.
And they nurse their little babies, and then their babies grow up really fast, it sounds like.
Yes, they have short lifespans.
Oh, how long does a shrew live?
I think about a year.
That's it?
Yeah.
Wow, you got to get a lot done in a year.
Yes.
Wow.
Have your babies and eat.
We're going to come back to April Chavez, as a student at the University of New Mexico, and her research specialty are shrews. That's right, the animal shrews. We're going to come back to April in just a couple of minutes. You are tuned to the Children's Hour right here on your community-powered public radio station. This is KUNM.
Support for this program comes from Local IQ, a biweekly newspaper covering local art, music, food, film, and culture at over 600 locations in Albuquerque and Santa Fe, or local-iq.com. Local IQ, Albuquerque's intelligent alternative. ABC Libraries are proud to host The Big Read and works of Edgar Allan Poe for the month of October. Events all about Poe include film screenings, writing workshops, dramatic readings, a chess tournament, poetry slam, art opening, art contest, a bird walk, and complimentary books. Find a complete calendar of Poe events in October at cabq.gov/library. The Big Read is a program of the National Endowment for the Arts and Arts Midwest. A message from the tax-exempt Friends for the Public Library.
Bios means life.
Life!
Mimicry means imitate.
Imitate!
Bios means life.
Life!
Mimicry means imitate.
Imitate!
Life runs on some basic principles, deep patterns.
Deep patterns.
We can study and follow those rules, change our tune, sing along.
To life's beautiful song!
Bios means life.
Life!
Mimicry means imitate.
Imitate!
Bios means life.
Life!
Mimicry means imitate.
Imitate!
Every species that survives fits in here.
Fits in here.
Hey, Homo sapiens, it's our time.
Yeah.
Sound of a shrew. Yes, you wanted to know what they sounded like. I did. What's that shrew saying, April?
It's saying it's hungry, and it's hungry, and it needs to eat now.
How do you know? No,
because that's all they do.
So that's really the sound. That's an awful sound.
Yeah, it sounds kind of vicious.
Yeah, I don't know that I would reach down and put my finger in that face that's making that sound.
I wouldn't.
Wow.
I wouldn't.
The sound of the shrew. Yeah, well, do they make noises in your cages at the biolab? Or?
Oh, we don't have them live.
Oh.
No, we just have tissue samples.
Ah.
So.
Whoa. We're going to let that shrew go. Shrews of New Mexico. We're talking to April Chavez. She's from the University of New Mexico studying biology. And you, in addition to studying shrews, you were talking to me off mic about something else that I didn't even know what it meant. So I'm going to assume our listeners probably also don't know what it means. And it is, you're going to have to tell me because I didn't write it down here. So
phylogenetics.
What is phylogenetics?
Phylogenetics. So this is kind of the study I'm doing with the shrews. It's the study of evolutionary relationships among organisms. So basically, we tried to build and really correct or make accurate the tree of life as we know it today, and just trying to make those evolutionary relationships among animals as accurate as possible.
So you're really trying to put the complete picture of our evolutionary family tree together.
Yes.
And in putting shrews on their little branch where they belong.
The very small branch of the tree of life, yes.
And you also talked to me about something else, phylogeography. So?
So that is basically the same thing, studying evolutionary relationships, only we're using geography as a factor instead of genetic data. So kind of with these shrews, what we hypothesize has happened is thousands of years ago when we had an ice age here in North America, what happened was that these glaciers emerged and they froze a lot of the land here in North America, causing shrew populations to actually split. And we think that's the reason why we have different species of shrew. And once the ice melted, these populations that once split, they came back together.
So, and so now they intermingle.
Yes. But
so now we have even new species.
That's why there's so many cryptic species or hidden species within this huge species of shrew.
Can shrews survive in an urban area, April?
I would say probably not. You got birds, cats.
So what are humans. Who are their enemies?
Oh, wolves, bobcats, lynx, anything that a carnivore, any carnivore, basically.
Yeah. We've been talking with April Chavez. She's from the University of New Mexico Department of Biology. And you know, I think we're going to wind up on shrews. We have folks from the Q Lab here who we want to talk to also. But gosh, April, I've learned so much. Is there anything you'd like to say to our listeners about shrews that you know, they clearly get the short shrift? All the words, but seriously, I mean, I didn't know anything about shrews. I'm sure if I ever was lucky enough to see one, I wouldn't even have thought, oh, there's a shrew. But what would you like to say to kids who are listening who maybe are inspired by the research you're doing?
I would like to say that even though the shrew is tiny and a lot of people don't know about it, we still should respect all these creatures who we don't know about. And these animals are important to ecology and the big circle of life out there. So they are significant, even though they are not the most attractive or enticing mammals out there.
Do you think you're going to go on as in your biology research working with shrews? Or are you going to move on to, I don't know, something else that bites your finger? Piranhas.
I think I want to stick with mammals for sure.
But you're going to stay in this field?
Yes, absolutely.
What do you recommend that if kids are really interested in biology, what should they be studying right now?
Oh, if you're really interested in biology, let's see. You should study, go outside, explore. That's the best way to learn about biology. Go outside, look at the organisms, come up with your questions.
Nice. April Chavez, you are, I don't even know what year you are, senior, junior?
Sophomore.
Really?
Yes.
Wow. You're a sophomore at the University of New Mexico in the Department of Biology studying shrews. Thank you so much
for sharing
your information and just passion for shrews. I never knew. Now I know. Don't pet the shrew.
Don't touch the shrew.
We're going to play a little bit of this. And this is the only song I could find about shrews. It's an instrumental, and it's from a band called Beirut. Enjoy. This is the Children's Hour right here on KUNM.
We'll be right back. sweet babe, I wish fish in the seas, birds in the trees, and all the wild wonders, tigers in jungles, all the wild wonders for you, my sweet babe. Butterflies and all the wild wonders, bright birds of paradise, all the wild wonders for you, my sweet babe. For this wish to come true, work to do,
all the wild wonders,
all the wild wonders
for you.
Side of tomorrow, there's a day we don't have a name for, there's a time we can't quite think of yet, there's a world we don't know, on the other side of tomorrow. Side of tomorrow.
side of tomorrow. On the other side of tomorrow. On the other side of tomorrow. If you can make it there, you can make it anywhere.
Shomo and the Monkey Bunch, and from their self-titled CD, The Other Side of Tomorrow. Before that, you did hear All the Wild Wonders. That's Coco's Lunch, coming off of a CD called A Whole New Way of Getting Dressed. Back at the beginning of that set, you heard Beirut, as they would say in Portuguese. Beirut, A March of the Zapotec and Real People is the name of that CD, with the Shrew song. And many thanks to April Chavez from UNM for coming up and talking to us about shrews. I learned so much. If you want to see a picture of a beautiful African elephant-nosed shrew, it's at KUNM.org. You can look at it up close. And believe me, if you go look at that right now, you're going to say to yourself, I would love to pet that thing. And we highly recommend you don't. So shrews of New Mexico, what an interesting thing. And speaking of interesting things in New Mexico, the Q Lab is a pretty cool place in Albuquerque. Maybe you've heard of it, maybe you haven't. It's at 1112, that's an easy way to think of it, 2nd Street Northwest. And good morning to David and Adric. Hi.
Good morning, Katie.
Good morning.
Great to have you with us. You're from the Q Lab. And what is the Q Lab?
Well, the Q Lab is a workspace for owned by the members and operated for people to come in and work on projects, learn things, be creative, work on art and science and how they all come together.
Interesting. David, you volunteered in the phone room. Thank you for doing that, by the
way.
You're
very
welcome.
You
are so sweet. And the Q Lab, I've been to the Q Lab and done some of your art projects. You invite folks to come in and make sort of pretty techie art, I would call it. And I don't mean just folks. I mean kids. Anybody can come in at these certain times when you have these public events. So describe your next public event. It's tomorrow.
Okay, so actually we do workshops all through the months, but our big events are usually the last Saturday of the month. The next big one is going to be called the Haunted Lab, and it's
Are you haunting your lab?
We are. We're building all sorts of contraptions and bits and pieces, and we're going to encourage people to come through and see how they work and how they operate and how we built them, mostly out of recycled materials and stuff you can buy in pretty much any store.
We've got creepy creatures that you can cast, you can mold out of silicone. We've got ghosts that you can cast from your own bodies. We wrap you up in saran wrap.
So this is at the Haunted Lab?
This is all going to be at the Haunted Lab. And this coming Sunday, tomorrow evening, we're going to be making light-up LED kits for pumpkins, for jack-o'-lanterns.
So they're little lights all connected to one battery that you can poke through holes in your pumpkin and have the lights, eyes glow and blink red and green coming out the mouth or however creative you want to be.
Oh, so you can make different colors on the same pumpkin.
Exactly. So we're teaching people how to make these little kits, and they get to make it and take it home and use it, and you can recycle it for Christmas and other events too. I guess all it'll take is just a battery change.
Yeah. And wow. So that's tomorrow night at the Q Lab.
Tomorrow night, 7 to 10.
The light up pumpkin kit making thing at 7 to 10. The Q Lab is located at 1112 2nd Street Northwest in Albuquerque. And for more information, do go online to qlab.net. That's spelled QUELAB.net. Or if you're a phone kind of person, you can call 505-750-4522. David, tell us about the event next week. That's Saturday.
That is going to be our Haunted Lab, and that's going to be great. We're going to be debuting all of the things that we've been working on throughout the month of October, and everybody is welcome to come on down and take a look at all of the spooky things that we've managed to collect and make. And you're welcome to come in and even play with some of our stuff and maybe make even some of your own spooky gear yourself. And that's going to be happening from 6 to 10. And that's going to be next Saturday.
The 29th.
Wow, that sounds so fun. You also offer something called Hack Night. What's that?
Hack Night is open to the public. There's a small donation fee, which I can't mention, but it's all right on our website. And it's really a night where pretty much anybody can come in and use our workshop. And it's tools and equipment and test equipment. And even better, they can use our best tool we have, which is our minds. We've got people there that are creative about all walks of life. And so if you've got a question, somebody there has an answer.
And the Q-Lab's really famous for having pretty high-tech art. I mean, we're talking art that involves, they were mentioning LEDs, but also computers and also...
robotics. And
we have like techie art.
3D printer that we're getting working up and everything. So you can actually take something from a computer and make it happen in three dimensions, just right, like a little figurine right in front of your eyes.
Hack Nights are Tuesdays and Sundays at 7 p.m. And so again, tomorrow night, 7 to 10 p.m., it's the LED kits for your pumpkins. Make your pumpkin glow even more creepier than it already might be glowing. Plus, it's just a whole lot of fun to learn how to work with those LED lights, frankly. And next Saturday, it's the Haunted Lab. Make a ghost of yourself. Whoa, that sounds so cool. Well, I want to thank you both, David and Edric, for being with us on the Children's Hour.
My pleasure.
Kids are always welcome at the Q-Lab, correct?
They are.
Awesome. Q-Lab. You can find out more by going to QUELAB.net or calling 750-4522 in Albuquerque. Thanks so much for being with us, guys. And coming up next off the brand new, hot off the presses, just released Dan Zanes. It just got released this week. It's from his CD called Little Nut Tree, John Kanakaaka.
Thought I heard the old man say,
John Kanakaaka to ride.
Today is a holiday.
John Kanakaaka to ride.
To ride, oh, to ride. John Kanakaaka to ride.
Thank you.
We want to wish a very happy birthday to Owen Hund in Taharis. He's turning 10 this week. Wow, I can't believe you're 10, Owen. Owen's been a lifelong member of the KUNM Kids Birthday Club, and we're delighted to be sending him a gift this year and in the mail just for being in the club. You two can join. Just email kunmkids@kunm.org. The endangered Mexican gray wolf will be featured with hands-on activities and information. That's going on all this weekend from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. at the Albuquerque Zoo. It's Wolf Awareness Days. And also celebrate Mole Day. It's not the mole that lives underground with our friend the shrew. Indeed, it's about chemistry. The mole, the basic measuring unit in chemistry, is going to be celebrated today at the National Museum of Nuclear Science. It started at 9, it goes through 5. Tons of activities, and that's at 601 Eubank Southeast. There's also the Fiesta of Cultures. It's geared towards families and children. It's a fiesta that celebrates the traditions of the Pueblo, Hispanic, and Anglo cultures. You can learn a lot more by doing crafts and folk art. There'll be music, dancing, food, a kiva tour, and even a visit from a conquistador. Uh-oh, that's today from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. at the Coronado Monument. It's free. And there's a Halloween cat show. Oh my goodness gracious. If you want to dress up your cat just in time for Halloween, it's a benefit for A Cat and NM Animal Friends. That's at the School of Arts building in Expo, New Mexico. Today it's from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. today and tomorrow. So it's the Halloween cat show. And there's also a Halloween pet adoption carnival happening, and with lots of stuff for you, including hot dogs and face painting and music and games and a pet costume contest. This is at the Eastside Animal Shelter in Albuquerque, 8920 Lomas Boulevard, Northeast. It's free. And it's today from 10:30 a.m. to 2:30 p.m. You've been listening to the Children's Hour right here on your community-powered public radio station. Stay tuned. Folk Roots with Ron Hale is coming up in just a minute. We hope you've had a wonderful time learning about shrews with us on the show. If you want to learn anything about what you heard on the air, please do just go to kunm.org. And stay tuned. Ron Hale is coming up in just a minute.
A little song I wrote, you might want to sing it note for note. Don't worry, be happy. In every life we have some trouble, but when you